This is Paul Nobles from Eat Form, and I am here with my trusty cohort, Becky Avara. Becky is our director of coaching here at Eat Form. Becky, do you want to say hello to everyone?
Hi, everybody. I'm really glad that you guys are taking the time out of your day to spend with us.
Yeah, we have a big group. It's been a while just because we did so many early on in January that it's been a little bit more than a month. So we're kind of excited to get information out there. And the thing that I wanted to talk about, because obviously people are coming towards the end of their first part of fat loss, and I wanted to walk everyone through sort of as a refresher. I think even if you've done it, you know the protocol, there's still value in hearing what I'm about to say, especially if you have any interest in weight loss medication at all at some point, kind of see the differences between the two. I think one of the things that sort of now that we have quite a few people that are using weight loss medication, the one thing that occurs to you like really quickly is there's no difference. It's really the same. You're essentially just eating less. There's some advantages to it, of course, and I think big advantages. But, at the end of the day, I'm going to walk you through some of the pieces that we have in place without weight loss medication that is a little bit easier to get away with when you're on weight loss medication, right? Now, is it worth the side effects, things of that nature? Maybe we can go through that. What I would like is anybody to get questions and answers or a question and answer profile towards the end. Just put that in the chat and we can answer those. It helps if you get those in early because then we can kind of cut short or maybe truncate a little bit of the discussion that we're having so that we see, oh my goodness, there's so many things that people want to talk about. And so, So let's get into it. The one thing that is straightforward, whether it's weight loss medication, non-weight loss medication. And I understand there's going to be some people that are go, I'm not really here for a weight loss medication conversation. The reality of the situation is that weight loss medication just makes the discomfort part a little bit more comfortable. It actually emphasizes why the non-dieting period is so important. So I think even if you're not interested in that at all, what you're going to find is that the information is going to be valuable to you, right? So why do we have 6 week periods for fat loss one? I think most people understand the basic concept of Eat to Perform, where you're just kind of rinsing and repeating all of these various ways to do it so that you can get to whatever comfort level you're at. What I think a lot of people, so previous Eat to Perform, where you would just do something like a Weight Watchers or super low calories, what would happen is people would go, I need to lose 30 pounds. And they would not think about, or they would overestimate their resolve once things start to get difficult, right? And more often than not, they got really difficult really quickly because they sort of pushed the level of resistance too early. This is why we sort of truncate or kind of tear down as we go, so that you're sort of getting used to each tier and the discomfort and things of this nature. And I think what many of you see is that, the standard for the dieting in general is about a pound a week. Most people, if they run a good PR cycle or they come to us not dieting, they'll often see 10 to 12 pounds of loss, right? If you have not seen 10 to 12 pounds of loss, that just means that you came to us not with your metabolism not near as functioning as the way it could with food and calories at their normal amounts, right? So that's one factor. The other factor is week one, you're going to be dealing with discomfort. And so we have your high days in, we have your super days in. All of those things are in place for you to have days where you're not 7 days of discomfort, right, at all times. I was talking to a bikini competitor, and I'll kind of mix in a little bit of our conversation. But she had been in a deficit for 18 months, with very, very few results. She had just paid this coach and just assumed because the coach had worked with other people that she had seen had success, that she would be fine. And she basically sat there miserable, for all, 18 months, because she had come to that person dieting, and we had talked a little bit about where her macros are at now, where she's working with a coach that is reverse dieting, but the coach is kind of moving things a little too slow, compared to the way that I think is most correct that we've seen over the course of millions of points of data. So she's at 1900 calories. And the first thing that she said to me was that I know that if I don't get those calories up, my deficit is going to be sort of for naught. And I was like, well, there's more to that story. Not only do your calories probably need to get to 2200 to 2500, they need to be there for quite some time, right? Because your body is going to become more and more resistant as long as you're not giving it what it needs to be nurtured, right? So it's kind of interesting that someone many of you would consider to be the best dieter, basically just lived like this miserable, uncomfortable life that I don't think the great majority of people want to live. And so kind of keep that in mind as we're having these discussions. So when we're talking about the 6 weeks and we're talking about the days undulating, we're trying to give you a little bit of a reprieve on some of those days. We still do that with weight loss medication because it really is about calorie average. I will say that sometimes it does become a little bit uncomfortable trying to mix in the high day or the super day. Coaches are not going to like really get down on clients that are on weight loss medication because they couldn't eat a super day, right? It's not particularly necessary on, I do think there's value in it. I think there's mental value. One of the things that 100% happens, even though you do not have the physical requirement for is it physical? That's interesting. I think it's more mental because you do feel it on your body. You do feel it in your brain, right? But the want for food goes away, right? But if you've ever been keto, you kind of know you kind of get like a little bit of brain fog. It's like that, right? And so, without a super day, a high day, we're not stimulating the metabolism enough to get that full 6 weeks for a fat loss cycle, right? And so it's important that we're working with the body the way that the body wants to work when there's no medication in place. So it kind of brings up an interesting point with weight loss medication of why these people are losing so much muscle. And to me, what's really happening is not only are they regaining insulin sensitivity in that process, but because they can eat at such a deficit for so long, it's going to naturally pull at your muscle mass. Did they lose tissue? I'd love to see the studies on that. They're not out yet. There hasn't been that much. Now, the one thing I will say, there's a lot of people talking a lot about weight loss medication as if this came out yesterday, and there's so much we don't know. There's a lot we know. This has been available for in some way, shape, or form for close to 20 years. There have been GLP-1s in various forms. Even like something like Ozempic or Mounjaro have been on the market for quite a long time as it relates to diabetes. So we know so much. There's already been long-term studies, and what basically those studies show is, in the studies we don't know yet, is the studies show that you should be on it as long as possible, right? Like otherwise you're gonna gain the weight back. Well, in most of those studies, there were not good controls in place. There was not necessarily support that's going to allow those people. Certainly, no one has any understanding of how reverse dieting works, right? So a lot of those studies are flawed in that way, but I do think they do kind of highlight some interesting things. But if, as an example, you regain insulin sensitivity, once you wean off the medication, that new renewed insulin sensitivity from the weight loss, but also from the benefit of the medication, even if it was just a short term, should allow for new tissue growth, right? There's a lot of factors there, which are testosterone, things of that nature. Obviously, everybody's hormone profile is a little bit different, but as someone who is on testosterone, knowing that insulin sensitivity is part of it, which means that your body stores tissue more efficiently, meaning that you potentially are gaining more muscle mass as long as you're sort of doing the right thing. Now, you can regain tissue in the form of fat if you're not doing resistance training or exercising and things of that nature. So that's something that you have to be a little careful of, but that's just kind of common sense, I think. Is that as you start to add more food in, really your energy level should be coming back. You should be able to, and that's with weight loss medication. That's with coming out of fat loss. I think one of the things that happens with people, and why we try to kind of teach people to have a little buffer in their head, is that you're regaining insulin sensitivity even if you aren't on weight loss medication from the weight loss. And so you can potentially gain some lean mass as your calories are going up, as your energy is going up, as your work becomes more efficient, things of this nature. Obviously, the way we would all love to do it is to gain 12 pounds and 12 pounds of muscle so we all look leaner. It's not that, right? And this is why we sort of teach people kind of the more efficient way to train. But you also have to train where there's some cardio involved, right? You can't just like not do heart health and only do weight training. But kind of depending on your goals, it kind of depends on how much cardio. You're never going to hear from me that you should not do cardio, right? Which you're never going to hear from me that you should not do weight training, because I think even body weight really helps a lot. And so the differences between the two is just one, you still need the break. With fat loss, one, there's a lot of similarities to coming off of weight loss medication because you are losing that weight. Your blood pressure is going down. There's probably a lot of things favorable. Not great for your thyroid necessarily, but that's why we keep that's why we're not doing 18-month cycles, right? Should you be open to medication if you've done damage in the past? I know for a long time I tried to do things without medication for the longest time. You know, before I started testosterone, I really never had blood pressure issues. Once I started testosterone, I started to have blood pressure issues, and I tried to work through it by reducing sodium and all these different things. And then my doctor, I know I've said this on the podcast, but my doctor said, "Dude, are you seriously going to stroke out over this?" And it was just kind of the wake-up call that I needed. And so I am on, weight loss medication, which opened me up to thyroid medication because I had previously, I had had my thyroid numbers under control because I wasn't dieting for years and years and years. But it was still at kind of a higher level. I was never able to like improve upon it necessarily. And so because I was on blood pressure medication, I did make the decision to go on thyroid medication. One of the things that I think people don't necessarily think about when we're talking about thyroid medication is they think, okay, well, I have a bad thyroid because I am on thyroid medication, and therefore that's why I can't lose weight. That is not how I would view it if I were you. If you're on thyroid medication, what essentially that thyroid medication is doing is allowing for your thyroid to become back to some semblance of normal, right? So if you're on thyroid medication and your thyroid numbers are good, that's not the problem, right? And so I know a lot of people think to themselves, well, I have a bad thyroid. I'm on thyroid medication, therefore my diet. No. You're conflating one issue with another. And this is why I think a lot of people are they strongly lean in the direction of black and white answers, because as we're doing this testing, right, and we're understanding like how our bodies work, a lot of the assumptions that we're making get disproven along the way. And so you have to kind of go in another direction. I think a lot of us, especially on this phone call, we're not dealing with like severe obesity. Not to say that 20 to 30 pounds doesn't affect your health profile. It does. Like 20 to 30 pounds can make a big difference related to blood pressure or heart disease or some of these other things, right? Cholesterol, another good example. And so there's value in that, but the issues that people are dealing with that are dealing with severe obesity, that's going to be a different thing. See, one of the things that I really don't, there is this thought process that, oh, if people are, less than 50 pounds overweight, they shouldn't be using weight loss medication. Says you. Their health profile might benefit greatly from 20 pounds, and especially if they're weaning off. One of the nicer things that we've been talking about weaning off for a year, year and a half now. And finally, some of the science is starting. Actually, some of the older science did point to weaning off. I just don't think that people were looking at it that way. And I think the main thing was that even people that were on it, on Ozempic as an example, for 2 and 3 years, at a certain point, just weight loss stops, right? And that's the biggest argument right there, that weaning off of it and maybe using some other type of protocol if you're a diabetic or something of this nature. But if you're using it for weight loss, there's no question in my mind. And what we're seeing, like even the bigger companies that are selling it, they're understanding people do not want to be on this stuff forever. And it's actually probably more favorable than not, right? So, both ways you need breaks. Okay. Now, with weight loss medication, the protocol, every situation is a little bit different. So keep that in mind. But in general, If you're on weight loss medication, you do not need the AP section. Now, that said, all we're really doing, all weight loss medication allows you to do is take that 6 weeks and turn it into a 3 month cycle, right? But after that 3 month cycle, if somebody's still losing weight, look, if you're still losing weight doing whatever it is you're doing, your coach is going to allow you to continue. We're not going to allow you to continue for 9 months, right? Or the where we believe it to be harmful. But yeah, if somebody has been using weight loss medication and they need to lose 50 pounds and they're down 30 and is continuing to lose weight, we're going to allow that to happen into 4 months. I don't think, I mean, I'd have to ask Becky, but I don't think we've ever really let anyone go longer than 4 months. I don't even think they want to go longer than 4 months. Am I incorrect in that, Becky?
You're right. For the most part, we do not. And I mean, I can think of one person who had a significant amount of weight to lose, and we did let him go longer, but I don't think it was longer than 4 months.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you're still kind of suffering with, side effects all along the way, especially as doses go higher. So you just don't want to be on it, right? I mean, not only, like through us, obviously, because we're able to use compounded pharmacies, it's not near as expensive as it is as if you're getting the branded stuff. Just to be clear, talked about this a little bit. Just want to make sure everybody understands that just because you're using a compound pharmacy, we're using the most reputable compound pharmacy in the industry. What is important for people to understand is that when medications are at a shortage, the FDA makes manufacturers allow for the primary active ingredient available to compound pharmacies to bridge that gap, right? And the manufacturers don't love that because obviously they would like to be able to sell their medications as high as possible with no competition, and it brings in an element of competition. So they do a lot of things to sort of scare people off, but just know these compound pharmacies, especially the ones that we're using, they're the best of the best. The reason why these compound pharmacies have access to this is because of the shortages. And the shortages exist right now. In fact, the shortages exist even for the compound pharmacy, right? So there is typically a wait. Anybody who's bought the weight loss medication, things of that nature, you've probably already seen that. We did tell people early on, right? October, November, look, there's going to be shortages. And we're definitely seeing shortages. There are occasions where people will need another vial. We do suggest to them that they get that fairly early on. So there is no need for an AP cycle with weight loss medication. That's the difference. So when you signed up for this class and you wanted to know what's the difference, that's the difference, right? Now, you could view it like we view it, right? So let's say that you did weight loss medication for 3 months, then you took a diet break. We would probably call that PR, but you could view it as AP if you wanted to, right? But we're going to get those macros up high, metabolism going, things of this nature. And then you do another 3 months, 3 month cycle because you need to lose, 15 more pounds. In my mind, the way that we look at it, you did the same exact thing as someone doing a 6 week cycle, 3 month break, 6 week cycle, right? The only difference is you used weight loss medication, right? And so it allowed for the cycles to be longer. But in general, you want at least the amount of time that you were dieting to recover from the diet, but often you want 2 to 3 times more. So if you and want to lose 15 pounds and you were reluctant in the 6 months to get your calories up and they were up to, let's say, 1800, and then you go on weight loss medication and lose that 15, you're going to be at much more risk of losing muscle in that instance. Those calories along that way do protect that muscle. And then as we come out of the weight loss cycle, right, then, the benefits of all that insulin sensitivity does come down the pike. There is one caveat, if you're at zero for testosterone, that's going to be a big factor. And many women are close to zero, and so that makes that difficult. That's where some level of hormone replacement might make sense, right? And so that's a personal decision, because obviously once you're on hormone replacement, you are doing something to kind of address either misery. I think a lot of people look at it from the standpoint of weight loss. It's not necessarily that. I would argue that a lot of that is what people sort of think happens. It's not necessarily what it's doing, right? We're trying to affect the deficiency. And is that going to be positive for weight loss long term? Yes, but not by itself, right? There's other things that sort of need to be happening in that process. So kind of keep that in mind. Okay, so I feel like I've wrapped that up. What a first cycle would look like, whether it be 6 months or 3 months with weight loss medication, right? The one thing I'm going to say before I see there's one question. The one thing I'm going to say before that, though, is that there used to be a time where people would ask me, oh, can I do, Eat a form and never do a fat loss cycle. And technically, physiologically, yes is the answer, right? There's a certain amount of effort involved. So the answer is yes. I would say that's not the most optimal way to do it. Trying to run yourself into the ground, I think, is not the best way to do it. But I think if you come from a background where you're either over consuming all the time, or like many of our clients, where you've under consumed for quite some time, knowing that there's a better way, and knowing that, being in discomfort and miserable all the time compared to being discomfort and miserable once a year is a better option, right? Or once every 2 years. The longer you can push it out, the better. But we need to all be realistic about where we are. I'm 55 years old, once a year actually seems fine. For the longest time, I kind of held myself to like the standard of 3 and 5 years to sort of prove the outlier part. I think for myself, I want to be the best example for all of you and do the things that you're doing, right? Rather than kind of hold myself to like this unrealistic standard that frankly none of you are holding me to. I just mentally, because I believe very strongly, and the science very clearly shows that it's the non-dieting period that people are messing up, right? And there's just not a lot of education out there. There's more education than there used to be, but now we're sort of, we have this whole other revolution where Yeah, this is a seismic change to the diet industry. I just want everybody to know that, right? Not necessarily to all of you, but certainly to people that, I'm gonna say it. It sounds like I'm being crass. I'm not. I just feel like this is the best way to describe it. Most people are just doing it to eat less pizza, right? Or eat less of whatever processed foods that they're eating. And they're gonna walk away at some point, whether, I think their health profile is gonna be affected drastically to the worse, in that scenario where you just lose 50 to 60 pounds. And we've seen multiple times where people just, even if they're, the only real way that it's being covered by insurance right now is if you're a type 2 diabetic. My doctor, he said, unless somebody's a type 2 diabetic, they don't even let him try to get it insured. That's how unrealistic it is. So if you're a type 2 diabetic, it allows you, but even in the case of a type 2 diabetic, you really want to view these medications in cycles, right? So I saw one question. It might not have been a question, but Becky, can you read it to me?
Sure. Is there an amount of weight that you suggest is ideal for using weight loss meds? Is there a place where you have too little weight to lose and don't suggest meds?
So I use the judgment of about 20, but it's very personal, right? You might have health markers that could benefit from 15 pounds of weight loss, right? Cholesterol being a real good example of that. So I think it's kind of person dependent. We leave it up to the doctors, right? And so if the doctor feels like you're at risk and things of that nature, then absolutely not. But more often than not, what you're seeing that is being described as vanity use is a doctor is seeing some other thing related to their hormone profile. Are their doctors prescribing it without that kind of information? I mean, look, it is the Wild Wild West out there. I mean, I can tell you stories that would like shock you of people that we've talked to all along the way. Many of these people are getting it without blood work, without a doctor. And I'm like, are you aware that you're participating in a drug deal? Right? And most of them aren't, right? I mean, I've heard many instances where someone was using it, they didn't like the side effects, and so they give it to their sister, right? That is rampant right now. And people are not aware. So someone is trying to send me a direct message.
It was me.
Okay, I cannot read that. And do the podcast. So, I don't know if that's something that needs to be addressed afterwards or something that we can talk about publicly. But I use the 20-pound marker, but there are instances where, from a metabolic profile, you could be a little bit less. Yes.
I do want for you to address just a little bit those that may not be interested in the weight loss meds and whether or not it is beneficial to not do that and for what happens with those people.
I don't understand the question.
If someone wants to do a fat loss cycle and they aren't interested in medication, is that still possible?
Yeah, that's just Eat to Perform.
Right.
Nothing's changed with Eat to Perform, right? The only difference is the discomfort has changed, right? So when you hit that discomfort level, right, that tells you I need to stop, we've determined that that level is 6 weeks, right? Even talking to the bikini competitor earlier, I was like, 18 months, like how? And she's like, I don't know how. My life was miserable. I was depressed the whole time, all these different things. At a certain point, this just, the pursuit of that level of lean or whatever looks very similar to an eating disorder, right? And so that's something that we're going to try and protect you against, right? At a certain point, though, if people are not under our support, that protection is no longer there. And we do have people leave because we give them the bad news. Like, it's not smart to continue on. And people go, well, okay, then I'm going to cancel. That's perfectly fine. But just do understand that you're putting yourself at risk for lots of things that are harmful, that are way more harmful than just weight loss, right? So I hear what you're saying, Becky. I think there's this idea out there that somehow eat to perform change, right? And I think right now there's really not a lot of feedback one way or the other, from a negative standpoint, but eat to perform has always evolved with the science, right? And so there is no question in our mind what works and what doesn't work. What we've done along the way, and what I think is actually really important, as it relates to what you're asking, Becky, is the other part, the hormone part, right? Having the addition of hormones, I literally think that Eat to Perform is the best we've ever been right now because we have meals. We have a plan that I believe to be the best plan in the industry, especially as it relates to our emphasis on non-dieting cycles. We still don't have a lot of competition in that regard. I would argue we don't have any competition in that regard. And then now we have weight loss medication and hormones. This allows us all the science that people can use to optimize their health in a proactive way. So I'm super proud that we've been able to get to this point, right? And it's a fight right now, I will tell you that. Boy, the diet industry has fundamentally changed since 12 years ago. I think in 3 to 5 years, this cavalier approach where people are shooting up on TikTok, I think that's going to be gone, right? But what I think it's going to be replaced with is the model that we have now, right? And I think that, people are going to look at us much, you might not see this, but nobody was talking about reverse dieting 12 years ago, right? Unless you were a competitor, and it certainly didn't look like how we do it, right? That has changed fundamentally. That is talked about all the time in the industry now. And so we were the leader there. And we still have the most data that anybody has in that regard. So I think we're going to be the leader as it relates to how to proactively view your health moving forward. That's something we wake up really excited about every single day. I think there was another question that came up.
Let's see. Can you describe a mini cut? And because we're cutting more rapidly, what happens if you want to extend?
So a mini cut is basically a cleanup, right? So you had a vacation and then the holidays hit you and you had lost 12 pounds, but now you're creeping back close. So maybe let's say that you're at 8 pounds and just kind of want to reset. The problem with a mini cut is that you're basically resetting back to zero. So you kind of have to keep that in mind. The benefit of a mini cut is that it can provide you sort of that mental relief. But yeah, I mean, to answer the question, can you turn a mini cut into a full fat loss cycle? That happens all the time. To give you an example, there's a lot of times where someone had a fat loss cycle that, they thought was good. They lost 8 to 10 pounds. But they, weren't as disciplined about the non-dieting part. And now all of a sudden they realize that it's super important to stay disciplined on that side. So they put a mini cut on the calendar, and what they end up finding is that they weren't near as disciplined as the previous time, or coming out of the mini cut, that lack of discipline allowed their metabolism to thrive in a way that it had not previously done. So those are factors, right? But I've definitely done mini cuts that have gone into fat loss cycles. My default is non-dieting. All of your default should be non-dieting, right? But sometimes when you got the tiger by the tail, go for the ride, right? And I would and I use that advice, and I would strongly suggest that all of you use that advice. Okay, I think that's all of our questions. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm going to get into a little bit of what a fat loss 2 involves, how long the break should be. We suggest at least double, which puts you at what? Right at 3 months. And so we strongly suggest if you do it at 2 months, don't expect your fat loss cycle to blow you away, right? Because even if you got your calories up to, let's say, 2200, it likely did not, you weren't there the whole time, right? Can you extend that? So let's use the reverse of your question. Can you extend a mini cut? Yes, you can. Can you extend your AP cycle? Yes, you can. Right. Ultimately, you're kind of, moving to PR when you're doing that. But if you lost 12 pounds and you're feeling great and your calories are at 2300 to 2500, and like I said, you got the tiger by the tail. Keep going. What's the point of like chasing misery, right? You can always lose the weight. I mean, if you find that, the 12 pounds that you lost now turns 8 pounds, put a fat loss on the schedule. You always want to be proactive as it relates to all of these decisions. And then as long as non-dieting is your default, you can always non-diet. Right. And so I think that that is a healthy way to view it. And so, as long as you've allowed for that 3 month period, you should be able to see similar results. I would say probably not as good because, think about realistically, if you came up to us over consuming, eating, let's say 3,000 calories, that first fat loss cycle is going to be better, right? Because you're not going to go back to eating 3,000 calories. So if you lost 15 pounds, probably expect to lose 10 to 12. If you lost 12 pounds, maybe expect to lose 8 to 10, right? So you have to kind of factor that in. But I think the most important part that as we do fat loss too, and things of this nature. Okay, I want to back up. So Yes, non-dieting should be the default. But if you've decided to do fat loss for any reason, I would highly encourage you to get out of it if you need to. But don't do it because it became a little inconvenient. You know, just ride it out. It's 6 weeks, right? Even in the case of weight loss medication, I mean, you've gone to this great extent. You've gone to the doctor. You did it the right way. You've waited for your weight loss medication to come in the mail. Give it a chance, right? The side effects are really easy to deal with. You know, I wrote a thing about Prilosec OTC, which a lot of people are having success with. You're supposed to use that in 14-day cycles. You can actually talk to your doctor to use it a little bit longer, but there's other things. Full fat kefir, Tums can help with some issues that some people have. So a lot of the side effects are really sort of easy to deal with. Even the nausea is just kind of your body adjusting, so it's really not that big of a deal. So I think there are times where people should get out of fat loss one, fat loss two. But if you're in and we proactively made that decision, you know, let's make sure we gave it our all. Let's make sure that we didn't just stop, you know, because we kind of hit one roadblock. You know, it has to be kind of a series of things that sort of worked against you. And I think that this is why we sell Lifetime. This is why we view this as a long-term solution. And I guess I really want to just, even though I've already walked through it, I really would encourage all of you to view. I know we would all love to get to the point where we don't have dieting in our life, right? But what I think that means for a lot of you is to eat 1500 to 1600 calories just so that you're kind of not comfortable, right? Or you're just a little bit comfortable. What we're showing you is that you can spend most of your time above 2,000 calories and then run a mini cut or run a just a one half of the cycle to clean up a year or maybe even 2 years. But trust me, living your life at 2,200 calories, or let's say 3,000 calories for men for a year to 2 years, running a 6 week cut is way better than you know. I mean, I had a buddy of mine, he owns a CrossFit gym, and he was down to 2,200. You know, that's what he had put his maintenance calories. So I'm, you know, 6 months after, I was like, so how'd your 2,200 maintenance calories workout? And he's like, it didn't. And I was like, I'm not a to I told you so guy, but I'm just telling you, I know your personality. And I think I know most of your personalities. And most of your personalities is you want to be thriving. You do not want to be, well, how much misery can I tolerate? I just guarantee you will not see that as a long-term solution. So, kind of keep that in mind. I think we're done. I just really want to emphasize to everyone the part that we haven't really talked about that I'll be talking a little bit about, and you can listen to it in the other podcast, is just the role of effort, right? When the, let's be real here. When you're eating 1200 to 1500 calories, you can allow the calories to do the work, right? And mentally, you allow the calories to do the work. What a lot of people don't like is the pressure that you naturally have when you're eating higher calories. You know that getting to the gym has to be a priority in your life and things of this nature. Many of these things we all have as habits. This is If you're a long-term eating performer, these are all things that are just part of your life. For some of you, though, these are the foundational pieces you're still building, right? And so Make sure that you're kind of pushing that effort. I know when I first started down the path that ultimately became Eat to Perform, I thought I was working hard, right? Eventually I figured out what hard looked like, but I was not capable. This is the problem with like trying to boot camp your way to fitness. Many people get injured because they're just not capable of that level of work capacity, right? And they're naturally trying to push themselves harder than they can. You're way better off. The one thing that you learn about this as you get a little bit more information is you're way better off being patient, right? And so definitely as food comes in, let's really kind of push that effort side of things. The other thing that I would like to say is that walking is somewhat overrated. Look, I'm all for 10,000 steps, right? But if and sometimes that's all I can do, right? For months, right? And that's all I can do is to sort of sustain my fitness levels to make sure that I have at least that foundation in place. But that is not pushing the effort side of things. That is sort of the base level of requirement of being a human being, right? Can that be 6,000, 8,000 someday? Sure. We're not talking about trying to, I mean, as we talk about effort, what I can tell you that the thing that I've learned most in the last 4 to 5 years is not the effort side of things. I had that in place. What I've had to learn is the recovery side of things. And so this is all a process as we go. But I think as you make more proactive decisions in your life, what you'll find is that your health profile just benefits exponentially. What your health profile does not benefit exponentially is when you're doing these drastic type things and you're boot camping and then you get hurt. And then you go back to boot camp, right? You have to learn from the mistakes that you're making along the way. And so I hope that's what we're encouraging all of you to do. And I hope everyone has found this. I know that for some people that are not using weight loss medication, that this is, we have a substantial amount of people who are. And what I need everybody to understand is sometimes knowing what is happening with weight loss medication should just emphasize what you've been doing right all along, right? And so I hope that helps everyone. I know that sometimes we have certain thoughts and you're thinking that it's cheating. I guarantee you 5 years from now, you're going to look at it differently. I guarantee you that, right? And so I appreciate everybody's tolerance in that regard. And I just want you to understand that some people do need that help. And so that is why we went in that direction. And we believe it to be a very caring direction. Doesn't mean it's not caring to the people that just do Eat to Perform the way that we've always done it. So appreciate everybody being here, and we'll talk to you later. Bye now.